All right, everyone, welcome back to the Chris the Freelancer podcast, the last episode of season three, the last episode of 2022. And today we're going to be reviewing my time in Jakarta, Indonesia. Jakarta is the capital and biggest city in Indonesia, and it's also the city that I believe is the most underrated place I've been to probably ever. Okay, I thought it was Istanbul. Now I think it's Jakarta, and I'll get into why right now. So Jakarta, it surprised me. Honestly, I was expecting something similar to Manila, if I'm being honest. But if I had to compare it to any other city in Southeast Asia, for those of you who haven't been here before, it would be Bangkok. It's like Indonesia's version of Bangkok, which makes sense. But I mean, if you look at the other capitals, you know, I wouldn't even put it in the same category as Manila. I wouldn't put it in the same category as Kuala Lumpur. I wouldn't put it in the same category as Phnom Penh or even Ho Chi Minh City. Like it's the closest thing I can think of to a Jakarta from what I've experienced, and I've been to most places in Southeast Asia, is Bangkok, the capital and biggest city in Thailand. It's not perhaps what you think it is, Jakarta. And the reason why I say it's underrated is because nobody I have spoken to, apart from maybe one or two people, have said anything positive about Jakarta. And when I went there, the reaction that I got from people was, oh, why are you going there? Or that shithole? Or Chris, are you sure you want to go to Jakarta? Like, it was a lot of confusion and like, why, you know? But like Manila, I wanted to go to a place that everyone was writing off. I want to go to these like underdog cities. It kind of appeals to me a little bit that, you know, these places aren't visited that often and people have a negative view of them. So I came into Jakarta expecting, you know, it would to be, a complete shithole, to be honest. I came in setting my expectations rock bottom, and I was just like, holy shit, from the first night. Before I get into my first impressions of getting into Indonesia or getting into Jakarta, let me talk a bit about getting in. So, 'cause that's important, right? I had to present a proof of vaccination when I was asked when I was checking in Kuala Lumpur. My vaccination at present is 2 doses of Pfizer, so that was sufficient. It doesn't require you at present to have the booster, which is good. That's a difference to the Philippines. In the Philippines, they wanted 2 doses plus booster. So because I don't have the booster, I had to get an expensive COVID test taken in the US, which was a waste of money. Obviously, I got the negative test and went to the Philippines and got in, but so much money just to say that I'm negative for COVID. So it was good that being double dosed is enough here. And then the process in terms of visa is you can just get a visa on arrival for a lot of major countries. In Australia, this is a funny one because they keep changing it. So they keep alternating between visa-free travel and then visa on arrival for Australians. And now they're back to a situation where you have to get a visa on arrival. So it's 500,000 rupiah at present, which is, let me figure out what that is in US dollars for all you US viewers, US and European, because the US dollar and the euro are about the same at the moment. IDR to USD, 32 US dollars. So not bad if you're going to spend at least a few weeks here. Even if you're going to spend 1 week, it's worth it. And coming into Jakarta is confusing. Like, I went in this one line and I was like, why do I even need to be in this line? They like stamped my passport saying, boarding pass to say it was valid. I don't know why they did that. maybe I didn't even have to go through that line. I asked, like, do I need to go through this line? And nobody could answer the question. Then I went through the second line to get the visa on arrival. That was definitely required. And then I went through a third line and the guy told me, oh, you've already got your visa. And I'm like, yeah, but it was like the normal immigration line that's like at the end that you would expect from any airport. So it's a little bit confusing, and the confusion doesn't stop after you get out of the immigration. I've heard mixed things about Jakarta Airport. Some people think it's, you know, it's a good airport. Some people think it's a pain in the ass. For me, it was a pain in the ass, honestly. You know, immigration takes a long time. So when you like come out to baggage claim, it's likely that your bag's not even there. So for me, I had to like, luckily it was off the conveyor belt, but it was still visible. So I picked it up. The ATMs didn't work for me. I mean, one had like a maximum of 1 million rupiah, which is, so if half a million is 32 US dollars, then it's like 64 US dollars is like the maximum. And I was like, oh, let me go to the next one. But then the next one didn't accept my card. So I had all this issue getting cash at the airport. Outside, when you get out and you try and find, I was going to try and find a Grab car. Grab is the Uber equivalent in Asia, for those of you who don't know. I was trying to find one, but it wasn't working. And as I walked up and down, trying to find where the Grabs pick up, so many people were like, taxi, taxi, taxi. And it was just, it got really annoying. And so I figured out after a while that all the Grabs were busy. So I ended up booking. There's these taxi company that's reputable called Bluebird. And everyone said, in hindsight, oh, you could have just taken a Bluebird. But I was worried about the cash situation because I couldn't get cash out at the ATMs. So I wanted to find a solution which I could use card. And that solution ended up being pretty expensive. It was 560K for something called a Golden Bird. It was pretty dodgy. The girl like wrote down on a piece of paper like my phone number and like the price and all this stuff. Like it was all just done via paper. And then like I was escorted over, and then they were like, oh no, he needs 10K extra. It was like, it was super dodgy. But in the end, I got in this nice van that was almost like having a business class flight seat, but like in a van. And like had like, I had like a 4-seater van to myself, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Now I feel a bit better having this like luxurious van, and 560 wasn't going to break the bank for me, but it was definitely much more expensive than catching a Grab, which would have been somewhere in the range of 200 to 300K, and probably a taxi would have been the same amount as well. So that's how much you can expect to pay, 200 to 300K. 100, just to give you some context for all you US Euro people out there, to US dollars. So each 100,000K is 6.43 US dollars. So don't get blown away by these large denominations. They actually don't amount to much in terms of US dollars or Australian dollars. So after about an hour drive, you get to central Jakarta. It's true, the traffic is pretty bad, but not absolutely ridiculous. You know, like any major Asian city, you're going to have traffic. And I got my Grab to the street I stayed in was called Wahid Hasim. And I stayed in this particular street in the Menteng area, due to advice I got from basically my only friend who has been to Jakarta, who recommended it, which is David Bond. You might follow him on YouTube as well. And he told me to stay in that area. He actually told me to stay close to as close to Plaza Indonesia as possible. So I took his advice, found something relatively close to Plaza Indonesia that was in my price range that fit my other parameters. And yeah, it wasn't bad. It was a really good location on that street. I had like work cafes like next to me and across the road. Lots of inexpensive warung, which is like local Indonesian restaurant food around. super good area to stay. But I think if you're looking for the best area to stay in all of Jakarta, and probably the reason why he didn't recommend this area is because it's brand new. He probably hasn't even been there yet, which is Ashta 8. This is going to be like the newest, flashiest mall you've been to in Jakarta. And like there's a street, I think it's Senopati. It's on this street, Senopati, where it has lined with all these like nice bars, restaurants, clubs. So like this area is probably the bougiest area in Jakarta. So if you want to stay where it's like, yeah, if you want to stay in the nicest area, near Ashta 8 or near Senopati Street is your go. It's kind of similar to Manila in the sense that when you go to Manila, there's only two places you should stay really, is Makati or BGC. And it's similar in Indonesia. I mean, sorry, it's similar in Jakarta, and except for Kemang, apparently a lot of expats live. I only visited there once. I went to one bar there. It was fine. But for me personally, I would only recommend staying in Menteng or near Ashta 8. So near Plaza Indonesia as a landmark or Ashta 8. I think if you stay in either of those places or close to either of those places, you can't go wrong. The thing that I learned personally from this trip is that South Jakarta is... Don't sleep on South Jakarta, you know, like... Central Jakarta might be the initial thought, like, oh, I'll stay in Central Jakarta. That sounds like a good option, which it is. But South Jakarta, a bit south of that, is where I kept heading down to for all the good stuff, okay? North of the monument, nothing really there unless you want to go to PIK, which is this modern place that's apparently been built by, like, Chinese money. So it's, like, where the rich Chinese live, apparently, in what they call the... Chindos, the Chinese Indians. I visited there and got some like cool shots in front of like the Chinese tower that they have there. That's just pretty cool. And the cool 2D cafe where you take a photo there. It looks like you're in a 2D photo. Cool little novelty, but not anywhere I would want to stay because it's like it takes you like 45 minutes to an hour just to get to Central Jakarta or South Jakarta. So I would recommend those two areas. Stay even near Plaza Indonesia or Ashta 8. Moving on, let's get into my general impressions of Jakarta. And like I said, I was happy with the quality of my hotel and my street. I had work cafes across the road and next to me. So I was happy with that area. And I was like, okay, cool. This is not a hole to start with, right? And then when I traveled around the city, I was just in awe of like these big buildings with giant LED screens. It's like fully, like there's parts of the city that are super modern and super luxury. Kind of like, you know, Bangkok. But I would say even more like quality and bougie than the places, a lot of the places I've been to in Bangkok. Big statement, I know. I don't know if... You know, maybe I need to spend more time in Bangkok, but, you know, I spent 2 weeks in each of these cities this year, and I think Jakarta is actually more bougie than Bangkok, but, you know, I might be a bit biased with that. I actually went clubbing on my first night in a club that had just opened. It's called Valhalla, and I didn't know what to expect. I just was like, oh, it's opening weekend. This is probably a good place to go. So I like rock up and it was like $350K to get in. Which I was like, yeah, cool. It's a cool club. Come in. They've got, you know, state-of-the-art equipment, like crazy lighting. It's all pristine. They had VIP rooms up the top. It was like, it was pretty high quality. And then, you know, I stepped out for a bit because I came in a little bit early, got my wristband, stepped out for a bit, went to some other bars. And when I came out of the door, I saw like guys with Lambos. Like when I came back, I was spending like $200K per drink. Like Jakarta can be expensive, man. And it can be bougie. So, like, don't think that, you know, oh, it's Jakarta, it's a shithole. I mean, you can go on the street, which we'll talk about in a sec, and have $2 lunch or 20,000 rupiah lunch. So that's like $1.50 in US dollars. So you can have like a less than $2 lunch, but then you can also have a dinner for, you know, $30, you know? So it's like the disparity in the city is just next level. And, you know, I was surprised that the really nice stuff comes with a bougie price tag. And obviously, if you've been to Indonesia before, Bali before, you know how inexpensive the local Indonesian stuff can be. Next thing I'll talk about is the COVID restrictions, which I can't believe I'm still talking about this in late 2022. But Indonesia are still into their masks, kind of like Manila, but I think even Manila, I've heard, have dropped this now. But in Indonesia, in Jakarta, probably not in Bali at this stage, and I can let you know later, I just arrived. But every mall you go into, you have to wear a mask. And the first time was like so annoying because I rocked up to this mall just to like get a coffee. And then, so basically I had to go to a store, walk 5 minutes to go to a store, you know, pay for five of them, which was cheap anyway. But like, you know, you have to go buy five at a time, put it on, came back. And I didn't even have it like on properly when I went through security and they still let me through. Like, it's just a complete joke. Every time I went through a mall security point with one of these face masks on, I took it off straight away and nobody, there was only one time that I was in a mall where I got asked to put it back on. Actually, two times. But most of the time, I just got away with not wearing it. It's just like, you know, it's something that's stuck around through COVID. So that's annoying. And I mentioned, like Manila, they've got the crazy building security. I spoke to a local and they said it's because of terrorist attacks. But it just seems like complete overkill to me. And the funny thing with me is like, there's definitely a bit of racial profiling, like preferable for me. Like, I went through one checkpoint once, like everyone's putting their bags on the x-ray machine. And one chick was just like, no, just go. And I spoke to, again, to a local about this and they're like, yeah, they don't worry about you because you're white, you know? So that's like a bit, that's racist against their own people, you know? But I don't know, maybe it's like productive stereotyping because maybe white people are less likely to do terrorist attacks. Probably, but again, it's pretty racist if you ask me. I obviously, it was my first day in Indonesia, so I had to get a phone plan. And just a little bit of a tip on that, I searched for Telkomsel. They're like the usual, they're like the big, the main brand for phone providers in Indonesia. I searched them on Google. I couldn't find anything, so I had a little bit of an issue. Just a tip, if you're looking for Telkomsel, type Grapari, so Grapari, and then you'll find the Telkomsel, like, consumer stores that you can go to. Yeah, for some reason, they're called Graparis, so just search that, and you can find. So I found one pretty close to where I was staying, walked there, got my SIM card, and we were all good, okay? Let's talk about the day-to-day digital nomad lifestyle in Jakarta. Co-working in cafes, I gotta be honest, I didn't go to any co-working spaces. The cafes did enough for me on this trip. I mean, if I was working a full-time project or had a lot of work on, I would have gone to a co-working space, which there did seem to be quite a few options in my area and affordable too, like not a lot for the day rates. Cafes though, like this is where, you know, Indonesia is a little bit more like Thailand and less like Philippines. You can go to like almost any cafe and use their Wi-Fi. Pretty much all of them have Wi-Fi and it's not an issue, you know, rocking up and using their place. So like most of them are appropriate for work. Some of them are just better than others. One that I went to, if you're in the same area, or you're going to stay in the same area that I went to, is called Coffee Work. And it was like super quiet there. So like, I'd always have a desk with like a table that was like desk like this. If you're watching this on YouTube or Spotify video, like, you know, a good comfortable sort of desk setup with an access to a power outlet pretty much every time I went there. So that was cool. Like, I didn't need a co-working space. And then I found this other one across the road called Jakarta Coffee House, which has a secret second floor. Like, not secret, but like, if you just walk through the car park and turn left, you can go into this second floor area with plenty of space and plenty of outlets. The internet, it can be a little patchy there at some times. But yeah, overall, there's a lot of cafes where you can just set up, and a lot of them have outlets too. So all in all, a pretty good remote work city if you like to work in cafes. And I'm sure if you like to work in co-working spaces, obviously they got WeWorks and all that stuff there. So that was really nice to see in Jakarta. The thing where it got a bit annoying was on gyms. So I noticed that, like, if you want to go to a proper gym, like, it's pricey, and like, they want long commitments. I didn't even look at, I mean, if you're there for like the longer commitment, like you're going to get a full-on membership, it's probably super affordable. But like, I went to Celebrity Fitness and Fitness First. Celebrity Fitness was in, I think, Plaza Indonesia, and then Fitness First was like next door at Grand Indonesia. And they had minimum memberships of like 2 to 3 months, maybe even 4 months at Fitness First. And I was like only there for 2 weeks. So I obviously didn't look at those packages. So I just paid per visit at Fitness First, which was like 270K for like one visit, right? It was a lot for like per visit. And even going to, I went to this like place called Empire Fit Club, which was like one of those like class fitness gyms, group fitness gyms, and that was like 250K as well. So what's that? I mean, 500K is $32, so it's like $16 US to train one time at these gyms. You might be able to find like local shitty gyms, but like, I don't know, like I'm done with like local shitty gyms. I'm like, I only want to train at nice places. And yeah, I found that unless you're going to stay for like 3 months plus, there's just not a gym scene that caters to short-term people. Unlike Bali, where it's all short-term and you can get a day, you can get a week, you can get 2 weeks, you know. I found that like nowhere was offering 1 week, 2 week memberships. So that was a bit annoying. Getting into food, as I mentioned before, you can go spend 30 USD plus on a dinner somewhere fancy, or you can spend $1.50 US at your local warung. I like to eat on a regular basis at these local warungs, which surprises some people. But the one thing I don't do is I don't trust the meat. Okay, so I've hardly gotten sick eating street food in all of my experience traveling Southeast Asia and living in Southeast Asia. The one thing I mean, I do make some exceptions with the meat thing, but in Indonesia, if I'm eating at a warung where they just have the food sitting out, like it's not kept on heat, I try to eat before like one. Like, I don't ever eat dinner at these places because it could have been sitting out all day. And I try not to eat any meat, which in Indonesia is pretty easy because they like the dishes are predominant. Like, they have other options like egg, tempeh. What else? Yeah, and then the veggies, obviously. And I like that you can go there, you get your rice, and then they add all the other stuff to it. And you get like a little variety there. So I'd say the annoying thing about food in Jakarta is I found like not a lot of mid-range stuff that was really good. Like here in Bali, it's crazy. You know, you can have healthy, vegan, not necessarily healthy and vegan are the same thing, but like you can have any type of food you want. You can have healthy food, you can have vegan, you can have you know, anything you want, pizza, and you can find a mid-range restaurant for that. Whereas in Jakarta, it's like either you go to a chain restaurant like a Pizza Hut, a Subway, or you go to a local place where like they probably don't even speak English, or you go to some bougie place where they sanitize your seat with a gun. They have these sanitizer guns. I thought it was hilarious. I went to this restaurant called Oscar, and they're like spraying the seat with sanitizer spray through this like gun thing right in front of me, I guess, to show me like, oh, look, we've sanitized it for you. So it's really weird, but I think for me, like, you can definitely find like bougie ass food in Jakarta. You can find cheap local food. For me, the mid-range was missing a little bit. And finally, on the day-to-day lifestyle stuff, getting around, like transportation, so easy with Grab and Gojek. Grab is like the Uber equivalent in Asia. Pretty much all of Southeast Asia is Grab. I think Grab bought Uber's market share, so it's just all Grab. But then in Indonesia, and apparently other places as well, but I'm pretty sure it came from Indonesia, they have Gojek, which is basically the same thing. Both of these apps you can order food on. I think you can order more things on Gojek, like you can pay someone to go to the grocery store for you, like something like that, right? So I was using that, like getting motorcycle taxis and regular taxis all the time, and it's pretty cheap and easy. But then my friend, local girl, she showed me the MRT, which is pretty new. It's like in the last 5 years, apparently. And it's like high quality. It's like taking the train, the subway in Singapore or something. And that is just next level cheap. That's like 4,000 to 6,000 per trip. So if we put that into like, you know, USD for you guys, that's like 26 US cents to like 50 US cents or something in that range, you know? Like, so less than a dollar to go on this super modern subway system that's just recently opened in the last few years. So I started doing the MRT a little bit as well, because it like cuts through the traffic and you're not outside on the back of a bike swinging through like all of these cars on a busy highway. But the biggest downside to being on the train is you have to wear a mask at all times. You enter the station, there's security. They're going to tell you to put on a mask. Once you're in the station, somebody's going to tell you to put on a mask. There's security everywhere, basically, and they're all going to tell you to put on a mask. So you have to wear a mask. Similar to how it was in Bangkok earlier in the year, anywhere in the metro system, you have to wear a mask. And another thing that I found interesting was you can't talk on the train. So if you're going with a friend, you can't actually talk to them because, God forbid, even though you're wearing a mask, you might spread COVID, you know. Even in late 2022, you got to be careful about this COVID stuff, all right? So, yeah, no talking on the train. All right, I'm going to take a swig of this water and let's talk about some of the cons of Jakarta. The biggest con that everyone talks about is the traffic, and I just want to dispel this myth. You know, I've been to many cities around the world, and there's like a lot of cities with high traffic. It's just natural to have a city with that many people, that population density, to have traffic. So yeah, there's traffic, but you should expect that from any major city. I guess the public transportation system could be improved and that would fix up the traffic a little bit, but the amount of traffic is expected for how many people live in that city, in my opinion. So for me, it's like a non-con. Another one that's relevant to digital nomads, no digital nomad community that I know about. You know, I could have tried harder to find these people, but I just assumed there wasn't because I've never heard of anyone going to Jakarta. And being there, I did not come across anyone who was in that digital nomad community. I think most of the expats or boules, as they call them, that work in or that live in Jakarta are working there. So they're like in some sort of job. You can definitely meet foreigners there, but they're probably working in corporate, not a digital nomad, which on the outside probably makes a ton of sense. Like I said, the gym situation, I thought was annoying for short term. Tax and service, you know, you Americans out there probably don't find this annoying, but I come from Australia where the price is always the price, like tax and service is included. So it's kind of annoying, like it can be up to 21% extra on your bill for tax and service, and sometimes they don't tell you what the menu doesn't tell you what the percentage is. So personally, I found that annoying. Coke Zero, where you at? Like we found this in Vietnam as well. Like very hard to find Coke Zero or like sugar-free Coke. So if you like drinking Coca-Cola, you'll have to have the sugar version, the sugar-filled version. That's pretty much, I mean, there's one here that's like very personal, and that was like, you know, one of the areas I liked in Makati in Manila, the Philippines, was Poblacion. And that was like a good place to go to, like, it's like the older expat area where you can go to like a English sports bar, watch some sports from your home country, and end up like chatting or just spending time around other like British, like Western like expats, right? And so like in Poblacion, I went and watched like the rugby one time and met some like Aussie guys there that and Kiwis that were super friendly. I don't know, maybe that exists in Jakarta, but I didn't find an area that's like Poblacion in Manila or like the streets near Tape Gate in Chiang Mai where you have all the English expat bars and stuff like that. That's more of like a personal thing as like an Aussie that likes to like go to a bar to watch like Aussie sports. I didn't find any of that in Jakarta. And this talk has been predominantly positive so far, I would say. But one of the pros I have not yet discussed that I just want to throw out here is that the locals are super friendly. A lot of videos talk about this and it's true. It's not everyone, but a lot of the locals are going to be friendly to you. And some will ask for photos with you if you are white, at least. I don't know what it's like for other skin colors. But for me as a white guy, you know, they just want to take photos. Another thing here, which kind of goes along with the friendly locals, is it's also super safe. Like I asked my local friend here, I'm like, is there any areas I shouldn't go to, or is there anything I shouldn't do? And she's like, nah. Like usually locals, like if there's a risk, they tell you like, oh yeah, don't have your phone. Like they're almost more careful than the foreigners and tourists. Like in Casablanca, Morocco, for instance, somebody was like, don't have your phone out like this. Make sure you keep it close to you. Like, yeah. And when I asked the locals, they're just like, nah, there's like no safety concerns whatsoever. Don't worry about it. I think also as a guy, this is especially true. As a woman, obviously, no matter where you go, there are extra risks being a woman, which is just the unfortunate case of the matter. But if you're a male watching this, nothing to worry about. And as a woman, just exercise normal safety precautions, and I think you'll be fine. And you might get some like looks, but they're not like eyeing you up to like rob you or attack you. They're just like, wow, a white person, you know, because it's not that common in Jakarta. All right, so to get into my summary here, Jakarta is this giant dichotomy of rich and poor. In one day, you can go to a warung and push past the language barrier to grab a tasty local lunch under $2. And then you can head to a nice cafe and get $3.50 cup of artisan coffee or whatever you call it. And then that night you can go out to like a fancy $30 dinner, get $15 drinks at some sky bar or nightclub. And then you take a $2 taxi back to your, you know, what might be as cheap as $25 a night hotel room. These are all USD figures, by the way. I converted it into US dollars for all of you American and European viewers out there. Yeah, like I said before, the good shit ain't cheap here, but the cheap stuff is very cheap. So it's very interesting how that works. And I will say it's not a city that's very catered to short-term nomads. Yeah, it's not a digital nomad hotspot for this reason, but you know, I'm not a big fan of like other big cities that are similar, like Bangkok anyway. So I don't really get the appeal of Bangkok. I guess I would probably choose Bangkok over Jakarta, but to me they're quite similar. But in Bangkok you have a much bigger digital nomad community and you probably have more things that are like catered to short-term living. Whereas in Jakarta, I think all the like pretty much there's not many short-term people coming there. I'd say like most of the foreigners there are working some sort of job and the locals are obviously local. And just to finish off on Jakarta, unlike what a lot of you have said to me or the idea that you've given me, Jakarta is definitely not a shithole. I had this like, I told this to like one of the locals I was hanging out with and I just kept making jokes. Every nice thing I saw in Jakarta, which was a lot, I was just like, yeah, Jakarta, like I took a photo of it. And I was like, yeah, Jakarta's a shithole. Yeah, Jakarta's a shithole. Like it's not at all. And even like, you know, once you get away from the bougie stuff and look at like the local sort of areas that are, you know, not modern glass buildings, I still wouldn't say it's a shithole. It is Indonesia, it is a developing country, but I did not experience anything remotely close to shithole life in Jakarta. So I just want to dispel that myth completely. It's not a shithole. If you're appealed by anything I've said in this video, definitely go have a look and try it out for yourself. Maybe on the way to Bali, like I just have done on this trip. But Jakarta has impressed me. It's a underrated city, in my opinion, and it's definitely not a shithole. All right, so with those final words on Jakarta, it's time to draw a close to the third season of the Chris the Freelancer podcast. It's, as I said, it's almost the end of the year. And now my focus moving forward will be to visit destinations that are only video worthy, like the only visit destinations that are video worthy. So what I mean by that is, like I said at the start of this podcast recording this season, I said, you know, there's these certain places that I feel like I could talk about, but I don't want to make a full video on. But moving forward, I want to create full videos on the destinations that I think are worth talking about. So stay tuned to the main YouTube channel. I plan on making some videos. I plan on making a video coming up next from here in Bali, covering what's changed since I've last been here. So yeah, in 2023, I've also got some travel plans lined up. So stay tuned to the main YouTube channel. I hope season 3 has helped you and you know, you've gotten some information from this. Some of these videos have informed your decision about where to go and, like what to do when you go to these places. For me, it's time to turn back my attention on the main channel of Chris the Freelancer. That's what I want to do. Push out some high quality content in 2023. Excuse me. But what I'll say is thanks for listening in 2022. And I'll see you guys in 2023.